podcast is brought to you by the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group in London and with the kind permission of the Parkinson's UK charity. Welcome to Parkinson's Life Raft. Parkinson's Life Raft is designed to help you, whether you have Parkinson's or, like me, you care for someone who does. And whether you're having a good day or a bad one, we hope you'll feel connected to others who are in the same boat. Each podcast will invite a person or some people to give us a different perspective on living with Parkinson's. My name's Vivian Goldstein, and I'm a member of the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group here in London. My husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 10 years ago. I then discovered the support group, and I've been an active member ever since. Today, I'm speaking with Will Cook. Will is a commercial solicitor and spent his first 28 years of working life in the city, but in 2017, changed tack to become CEO of Cure Parkinson's. He had been a supporter of the charity since its inception in 2005, although his involvement dates back to 2002. Back then, he was chair of the charity fundraising committee supporting Tom Isaac's 4,500-mile charity walk. It was called Coastin, which resulted in the foundation of Cure Parkinson's. Will's journey from support to leadership is fascinating, and he is full of energy, forward-thinking, with many ideas on how to make them work. So I'm delighted to welcome him here today to tell us more about Cure Parkinson's. Hello, Will. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Vivian. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Well, I was going to say, I'm looking out my window and the sun is shining, and I'm so grateful that you've found time to speak to us, because I know that you're a very busy man. So let's get straight into this. Please tell me a bit about yourself and how you ended up becoming CEO of Cure Parkinson's.
Okay, well, you've already mentioned that I was a solicitor. That's a pretty difficult subject to lead on. But I was a lawyer for 28 years. I still am a lawyer. My passion was invention, and I was actually an intellectual property lawyer looking at innovation in the pharmaceutical and telecoms area. But that's not really that interesting for your podcast listeners. What I was a great supporter as a lawyer of this particular charity after its inception in 2005. And that was because one of the co-founders, Tom Isaacs, you already mentioned his name, was a great friend of mine. And I supported his charity. He was a co-founder with three others. They created an extraordinary charity, which is focused entirely on curing the neurological condition of Parkinson's. And as a friend of Tom, and as a right-thinking individual, I just wanted to support that, and I became a major donor of the charity over several years. That was my background back then. I was delighted, honoured to become a trustee of the charity in 2015, and I guess that's where my life started to change.
Interesting. So from 2015 to 2 years later, you'd gone from being in the city to organizing a charity, which, as you say, is quite different.
That's right. I mean, there are parallels. So I was at a firm called Simmons & Simmons for 18 years, and then a firm called Marks & Clark for nearly 10. Marks & Clark, I and a co-partner built up to nearly three times its original size when I joined. And it was that growth, that acceleration of activity and ambition, which is the only transferable skill that I brought to my new role here at the charity. The charity Cure Parkinson's is itself on a growth mission. We are very confident, we're very ambitious, and we're a disruptive force. We just don't say no. And lots of those factors were common to the excellent firm that was and is Marks & Clark Law LLP. But not advertising Marks & Clark, really advertising Cure Parkinson's here. I was a trustee of the charity, so I actually rose to being acting chairman of the trust for quite some time for the first couple of years, 2015 to 17. And that's when, tragically, My good friend Tom Isaacs, the president of the charity at that stage, passed away. Tommy passed away after, at the age of 49. He'd had Parkinson's already for at least 22 years then. He had young onset, very young onset Parkinson's. And when he passed away, and I was acting chair of the charity and his best friend, that's when I got together with my wife and children, and we talked really about the future and what I wanted to achieve in life. I was 48 at the time, and yeah, the end result of all of that was resigning from my partnerships and eventually taking on the role of chief exec of Cure Parkinson's.
Well, that's amazing because you and I have met. And if you were 48 in 2017, you're obviously older. And I thought you were only about 45. So
That's
I
so
would
kind and
well
acknowledged.
well, I'm
We
thinking.
don't. I'm so sorry. I'm very glad we don't have video on this podcast, because your podcast listeners would reveal that you're being gracious, charming to me, and not truthful.
No, I'm saying it specifically because I truly thought you were 45, 47, I'm never quite sure. But I also, you having told me, Tom died and why you changed your life, and I think, well, you definitely made the right decision because your whole face glows with you're doing the right thing for you. And it's important to be doing the thing that makes one shine. And so that was why I made the comment.
Vivian, you're a very skillful podcaster. You've cast a picture there of a vibrant, youthful man.
When you're actually 80 and
Well, no, I mean, and I would be r vibrant then, I would hope, but slightly less youthful. Look, it's not about age. Of course, it's not. It's about energy, and I'm utterly energized by this charity. I've always been qu quite full of life, I must admit. I'm keen to achieve stuff, right? But having the opportunity to contribute to Cure Parkinson's has energized me even more. My wife would say perhaps sometimes too much. Sometimes it's exhausting to be me. It's more exhausting to be around me, and my wife tells me that almost every day.
You sound as if you're describing me, so I understand exactly what you're talking about. Tell me, what is Cure Parkinson's? And how does it differ from Parkinson's UK?
Okay, I want to talk about Cure Parkinson's. We are an international catalyst for cure. Now, that's a phrase I've been using for a couple of years now, and every word is carefully considered. International, we're both international in the research we support and the funding collaborations we bring together. Catalyst, meaning not only do we put in £15 million to date on our external research, but we also catalyze others, persuade, cajole, facilitate. Over 100 million now, according to our estimate, of other investment. So, international catalyst for cure, of course, we're here to do one thing and one thing only. We're looking to change the pathology of Parkinson's, to modify the disease in order to permanently cure. And that's what we're about. So, we're utterly focused on cure. We define cure as slow, stop, reverse. Slow, stop, or reverse the progressive nature of the condition in the clinic, so in people with Parkinson's, within 5 years. That's always been our mantra, certainly since I've been involved, and it still is. And it's driven by an urgency, and it's driven by a reflection that we're here to serve people with Parkinson's now, to cure them now in their lifetime. It's not an academic exercise, it's not a long-term 20-year drug development exercise, a biotech process that takes years and years and years and involves billions. This is change people's lives now for the better. Now, that's what we're about. There's energy, there's focus. Hopefully, I'm getting those messages across. We're certainly disruptive. Okay, so we're
Oh,
innovative and
good.
disruptive. And one of the reasons I'm here, I'll talk about those reasons in a second, but one of the reasons I did give up that life back then, and I'm doing what I'm doing, is because of the disruptive, innovative nature of this charity. Pretty small, right? This
Yeah,
year
yeah.
we'll probably hit 7 million income. Last year it was nearer 2.5 through COVID. We've been growing since I've been involved from about 1.5 million, but we're ambitious to grow more and bigger and stronger and quicker because of the pipeline of drugs that we think we've identified for cure. So that's us, nimble, disruptive, and a leader, international leader. You mentioned Parkinson's UK. Parkinson's UK is a wonderful charity. I have only good things to say about Parkinson's UK. What Parkinson's UK are is the UK national charity supporting the Parkinson's community. Now, that's great, and they do an awful lot of good work. If we talk about care in the community, advice, some financial assistance, Parkinson's nurses, all sorts of areas they support the community, as well as reasonably recently, as well as some research. And the research they do, of course, deals with not only symptomatic treatments, masking symptoms, but also research into cure. So there is a tiny intersection of what they do and what we do, but it's got to be seen in the context of what we do. We are this disruptive life force across the international community doing things that others haven't done before. And Parkinson's UK devote a small proportion of a small proportion of their large budget to research into symptoms and cures. Okay, now, of course, we work with them. And actually, one of the things that I'm very pleased to talk about, but sadly not just today, is how we're both collaborating on a major new clinical trial and investing millions of pounds together. That's something we'll be
Wonderful.
announcing very shortly. So your podcasters, please watch this space. Please watch, your channels and our channels, because that's imminent, 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 next few days, I hope.
Oh, really
But yeah, and
exciting.
indeed, indeed. But that's one area where we work together. But Parkinson's UK, there are many other areas. I know their chair, Gary Shaughnessy, the fantastic Gary Shaughnessy, reasonably well. I flatter myself he's a good personal friend of mine, and I of his, because of our common interest in cure. So he's all about live life, love life, stop Parkinson's. You couldn't have a mantra that is more defines me also personally. So Gary actually came with me to the Alps this summer, and we cycled from Geneva, well, most of Geneva to Nice, in 6 days.
I did interview him. He's been on the podcast,
Yes.
and I mean, he's incredible. He's absolutely incredible, as you say. Please carry on.
But he's so I know Gary well. We liaise, of course. Caroline Russell, the chief exec, the wonderful chief exec of Cure Parkinson's. She is instituting change there and positivity. And again, her interests are aligned with ours. However, it's only her interests in one portion of her responsibilities. Of course, Caroline has to respond to the wider interest of her congregation, of her electorate. So the PWP in the UK, and a lot of them are very concerned about the economic environment and other aspects of care for Parkinson's. That's great. I'm delighted that Caroline and Gary and the excellent people at Parkinson's UK are focusing on that. But it's not me. I am absolutely laser focused on cure, and that is defining what I'm doing in my professional life.
Well, it's great because nobody in the world, there's not only one thing to do in the world. And as you're talking, of course, curing is important, and of course, support is important. So you're great for the fundraising to get the curing done. And as you said, Parkinson's are, although they're involved in a bit of research, nothing like you, it's much more of a caring, supportive with the people themselves rather than the science.
And
Do I say that correctly?
yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. I mean, they do some sciences. I mean, I don't want
Yeah,
to be an
no,
old
I
bloke,
know they do.
but
I know.
yeah.
I
So I'm
just,
not disparaging that. But what I
no.
wanted to pick up, Vivian, is what you're saying about, they do listen to the people. They are listening increasingly, and they have that very much in mind. So if anyone has frustration with Parkinson's UK, I know from talking to the people at the top there that they're listening and they're trying to get better. You also mentioned on my side of the fundraising for a cure. Yes, indeed. We're very much involved in that. That's one of my areas. But it's not just raising money because we're trying to cure. What defines Cure Parkinson's is the way we're going to do it, our business model, our curative charity model, if you like. And that's one of the big reasons I'm involved. So I think I can I just morph, try and make this real.
Please.
Get back into my head back in 2015, 16, 17, and especially 17 when the wonderful Tom Isaacs passes away. There are two things that drive my decision to devote my life to this now. One is my head, and one is my heart. Okay, now we've dealt with the heart. Of course, my heart was with Tom, a man that I loved, a man that is just a huge life force. He created a wonderful, glittering jewel of a charity, and I didn't want emotionally in my heart to see that falter or slow down or even just carry on as it was. I just thought it could do even better. So my heart was saying, stay and change my life. My head was saying that with bells on it. My head was amplifying that loudly because, as a trustee, I could see the pipeline of drugs that we, Cure Parkinson's, had identified for potential cure. A lot of them were a phase two clinical trial, so proof of concept or early stage phase clinical trials. But I was already approving hundreds of thousands of pounds, sometimes millions, for these drugs to be put into trial. Now, it takes years, a couple of years, perhaps more, for results to be received. I knew what we could do. I believed what we could do. And I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to be part of the solution and throw my energy and grow the charity so that we could then deliver those phase three, two clinical trials, if they're successful, into phase three through regulatory and into the prescriptions and the chemists. So far, Vivian, it has proven. So scroll forward now, 5 years to now. We already have a phase three clinical trial, a Cure Parkinson's drug, prioritized drug, which is exenatide, the diabetes drug being run out of UCL, Professor Tom Fortney. That's in phase three. Great. We are just about to announce, stop press. This is the thing I'm going to announce shortly. The second phase three clinical trial with one of our drugs. And I know from public research, there's only three others in the world for disease modification in Parkinson's that exist. So here we are. We're just about to announce two out of five, the second out of five. That's not bad for a little disruptive, creative, ambitious charity. But it's not good enough. I'm not resting on any laurels. I don't have any laurels. We want to put more and more and more into trial. And that's what drove me to my decision back in 2017, 18. And that's what drives me now.
And as I said to everyone at the beginning, Will is full of energy and has loads of ideas on how to make them work. And I love the description of disruptive because I think that that is so productive when it comes properly from a good heart. It's a wonderful way to be productive.
I think
So,
so, and Vivian,
yeah, well,
I mean,
clearly.
it's one thing to throw the words around. Look, I'm a lawyer, right? I have to be evidence-based. I'm as a lawyer, I'm super cynical about marketing speak and just using words because they sound good. So let's really pick apart disruptive. Why do I say that? A couple of reasons, right? The first one is, the program I'm talking about, the prioritization of drugs for disease modification in Parkinson's. No one was doing this. No one was pursuing a program of repurposing existing drugs like diabetes or liver disease or respiratory against Parkinson's. Why? Because it wasn't in the commercial pharmaceutical industry's interest, and no charity was doing it. We don't, we are. We have set up a program where we identify, prioritize, fund, and drive forward these clinical trials. 13 completed already, 13 ongoing, and two of those, in fact, it'll be shortly 14, of course, phase three. I've just mentioned that. So this is an entirely new program. It's called the International Linked Clinical Trials. That's our term. But it's just a repositioning existing drugs if they have sound biochemical evidence for cure. If they do, we go through a process and we fund. We do so bringing together the best, the most eminent neuroscientists and neurologists in one room to prioritize. It's an extraordinary petri dish, melting pot of academic and clinical energy and excellence That's us. That we've created that. We've done this ILCT meeting, International Link Clinical Trials meeting, every year now for over 10 years. That's an
Wow.
area of disruption and innovation that I'm so proud to be involved in. I'll give you another example just to make the point. Back then, way back then, let's go back to 2002, when Tommy was walking around the country, 4,500 miles around the country. I was sitting in London drinking a glass of wine and making a little bit of money from him and our friends for this charity committee way back. Back then, the previous incarnation of the national charity, Parkinson's Disease Society, they wouldn't even use the word cure on publicity. They didn't even want to say it. Why not? Well, they said then, lest we give people false hope.
Oh,
Now,
no.
no is right. We're not about false hope. I'm not about false hope. I'm about hope based on sound biochemical evidence and then delivering that hope into clinical trials and hopefully a cure. So absolutely talk about cure. And that's what we've been doing. We put it on our tin, right? Cure Parkinson's since 2005. So that's a disruption itself. And we talk about Parkinson's UK doing research now for cure. Great. I love it. But I have to say, I do credit this charity to some extent because of that, because we were right there 2005 and in the run up saying, please put this money to cure. And if not, we're going to set up a charity. And that's what we did. That's what Tom did. So, absolutely. And it's great that charity, this charity, and many others are focusing on cure. Michael J. Fox, the Australian Parkinson's Commission, various entities in France. We're supporting a French charity, a French clinical trial. It's great that loads of people are looking at the cure,
But
and we don't
you're
care.
actually doing it.
No, and we're oh, absolutely right. No, but we're all trialing and pushing forward for the cure, but we don't have a monopoly in it. Just because we're called Cure Parkinson's, we're not arrogant or complacent enough to think we own it. We just want it cured, and we don't care who does it. We just feel that we have got a great model to do so.
I love listening to you. You do. And well, and it's also, I agree. I'm very positive minded, and the thought that somebody says, "Oh, don't use the word hope," because, well, that's exactly why you use the word hope, because you do want to give people hope. Otherwise, what's the point? So,
If it's justified, absolutely, 100%.
And as you say, you've worked it very well. You understand it, and you concentrate on what is possible. I think we may have covered this, but I'm going to ask you anyway, just in case you want to say something else. What research products are you currently involved in? And well, how do you choose which ones to get involved in? Because they're all with the idea of finding a cure. So.
It's a great question. It's a great question. I think I don't want to get too sort of into a like a speech presentation, but I'd answer
No.
in this way. If I view cure coming from one or more of three areas, those are disease modification, neurotrophic factors, or regenerative, so or cell therapy. So taking each one in turn, disease modification. That's what this charity is primarily about. That's the thing I've been talking about, repurposing drugs where there's evidence to affect the underlying pathology, to modify the pathway in the brain. And ultimately, what that is about is introducing drugs, small molecule drugs into the body to get through the blood-brain barrier, into the brain, into the right part of the brain, and then change the biology of the neuro I'm so sorry the neuro the neurons which produce dopamine, so the brain cells which produce dopamine, the chemical messenger. One way is to remove waste products so they work more healthily. One way is to increase the energy entering the cell. One way is to reduce inflammation. All these ways are modifying the disease. That's what we do. And if you go onto our website or follow up with some of the materials that you may be publicising, you'll read more about that. That's all about our International Linked Clinical Trials program. That's one area, okay? Number one, disease modification. Two other areas are really, really important, but they have a slightly different focus. Neurotrophic factors, the second one, is all about introducing a factor of a substance into the brain that creates a positive environment for cells to work better. and possibly regenerate new cells, create new ones. But so it's just introducing a different kind of environment for the brain, so having neurotrophic factors in there. Third area is cell replacement, and that itself is very different. That is where you're introducing back into the brain new cells, new dopaminergic neurons, or brain cells that produce dopamine, the messenger, back into the brain, right? And previously, that was sort of all to do with fetal cells, but much more happily now, that's all to do with the focus on stem cells from, well, they're called pluripotent stem cells. These are cells that you create from any sort of cell, skin cells, strip it back and create a dopaminergic neuron and introduce it to the brain. Now, stepping back, those are the three areas. The first area, disease mod, is all about this charity, because that's where we can have bangs for our buck. We think we can get on clinical trials that will prove what we want to prove.
Right.
It is also an area which was focused mainly on slow or stop, and hopefully on reverse, slow, stop, or reverse, those three areas. But right now, it's more to do with slowing and possibly stopping than reversing, we think. That may change, but that's our focus. The other two, neurotrophic and cell replacement therapies, are all about regenerative medicine, putting stuff back in, making you better, so you reclaim that faculty. And a combination of all three areas, I think, are what will lead to the cure. Of course, we support neurotrophic factors and stem cells. But both of those areas are already funded by commercial entities and other entities. So we find that most of our money goes into the disease modification, because that's where we can change the life for people, slow, stop, and hopefully reverse soon. Does that help? I hope that's not too technical.
Oh, this wonderful. No, it wasn't. And I understood it, and
Oh, good.
I'm not very good at this, so if I understood it, everyone will have understood it.
Well, I must admit, when I first came into the role, this is what I used to do as a lawyer, to take what really complicated concepts and try to distill them down into simple things that I can understand and then I can explain. And it's I find it fascinating. This is why I was an intellectual property solicitor. This innovation and the technical progress is, it's just fascinating technically, academically, as a lawyer. But when you come as a charity leader, it becomes both fascinating technically and academically, but also joyful, because it's having a real effect, a potential real effect on people.
Absolutely. And that was as you were saying it a split second before, I was thinking, this is why you said there are parallels from IP, intellectual property. But that's exactly why you're good at this, because you were involved in IP. And actually, this is the same thing, or very similar anyway. So yeah. You've got the skills to transfer, and you do understand it. And you're a commercial solicitor, so you understand money. Therefore, running the charity is in very capable hands.
Well, I wouldn't disagree. I'll let my colleagues here tell you whether I'm running it reasonably. But what I will say is this. So my lived experience, this is a joyful thing for me to be doing. There's real hope, and I hope real progress that we're involved in. But my day to day, I find very inspiring. I meet extraordinary people, and I'll just give you three categories, right? One
Please.
ex type of extraordinary person, first and foremost, is people with Parkinson's. We at Cure Parkinson's seem to attract positive, capable, driven people who want to hit back at the condition. And that's great. That's how I am, that I want to do that as well. So we get really enthused and energetic people. Gary Shaughnessy is an example.
Oh.
But there were four other examples that I spent my summer with, cycling across the Alps, or a week in the summer. Five PWPs cycled from Geneva to Nice. That's 700 kilometers. That's twice the height of Everest in 6 days on bikes. They had the condition, but they were so committed, so driven to do that. And we raised a huge amount of money, nearly 200,000, wait, the best part of 200,000. So one kind of person who I meet is amazing people with this condition. Another type of person are the scientists. I'm a bit of a fanboy for science, right? And to meet preeminent Nobel Prize winning professors and eminent scientists, neurologists, clinicians is a joy. It's inspirational. It's a joy, and they are so knowledgeable and so driven themselves. And a third category of people I meet and I'm inspired by are people who donate, who fund, who want to be a part of the solution. And again, we at Cure Parkinson's are very fortunate because we have lots of people who want to dive in and dive in big because they can see what effect their dollar, their pound can make.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's significant. That's why I donate and to this charity. Yeah, so those three categories of people keep me fresh and keep me inspired.
Yes. Yes. And what events do you run to raise money? Can you give me some examples?
Oh, I can. Just loads, loads and loads and loads. From the most obvious, London Marathon, the Royal Parks Half Marathon, the New York Marathon. We had four of our supporters run New York Marathon just last week. From all of those running and endurance events to cycling events, we go across the Alps. We've gone across the Pyrenees. We're going up Mont Ventoux in Provence next year. All of that sort of sporting activity into more community events like cake sales, tabletop sales. People will get together and just raise money for us in that way. All the way through to individual giving, people set up payroll giving and direct debits and that sort of thing. But in terms of events, we go from those big sporting and social events into dinners and auctions and drinks parties. So if people get onto our database, they'll find they're invited to some extraordinary lovely places like the Cavalry and Guards Club or in Mayfair or the Savile Club in Mayfair, or the
And you
Ivy
have
Club. The Ivy has just syndicated support for us, and these places
Oh,
want to
wow, good.
give us their venues either for free or at a reduced rate because often they know what we're doing, they support it, and they may have members or supporters who are a part of our community. So yeah, I mean, we're going off to the Cavalry and Guards Club with nearly 100 of our supporters in the start of December for an evening of celebration and commitment and fun. I'll be speaking at that event. But yeah, there's all sorts of events.
Good.
I'll give you one more. The Mike
Yes.
Tyndall Corporate Golf Day. Sorry. The Mike Tyndall Celebrity
Ah,
Golf Day.
ooh.
Mike is our wonderful patron. He's one of our patrons, alongside Robert Voss, the Lord Lieutenant of Hertfordshire, alongside several others. Paul Mayhew Archer is the writer of Vicar of Dibley.
Yes,
He's
yes.
one of ours. Goodness me. There's so many. Joanna Trollope. We've got lots of patrons, but one of them is Mike Tyndall, currently in the Australian jungle when we're recording this podcast. And
Yes, of
he's doing well.
course.
He's doing well. As a professional duty to the charity, I do make sure I do watch I'm a Celebrity and watch Mike on there just to make sure he's staying on message. Yeah, I was going on events. He runs the most extraordinary Celebrity Golf Day at the Belfry every year for us and for another charity we're alongside, and he gets extraordinary people, Ronan Keating, Nigel Mansell, goodness
Yeah.
me, Ian Balshaw, the great and the good, and
Wow.
Ian, of course, Rugby World Cup winner. Yeah, I could go on. Jenny Faulkner, Denise Van Outen. Oh goodness, there's so many that I can't think of right now. But he normally gets about 20 or 30 really impressive celebrities, and playing golf that raises a lot of money.
People definitely want to play with these people.
Yeah, that's right, and it
How's
just raises awareness of the charity, and that's a good thing, and a lot of money, a lot of money.
Wonderful, wonderful. Do you need volunteers?
Yes, times 1,000. If people want to get involved with what we do, then please have a look at our website. I'm sure we'll be sharing the details. It's
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll
very
tell
good.
everything at the
Yeah,
end, yes.
please. It's cureparkinsons.org.uk. But have a look, see how you can get involved. There's tabs on there that you can. But yeah, volunteers either for raising money or for supporting us or raising awareness, sharing on social media. We need all the support we can get. We're very lean and committed group here. We try to be efficient and productive in this little charity. But yeah, any shoulders to the wheel, any support that we can get, volunteers are very, very welcome.
Well, I sincerely hope you do get some, because if you don't, they don't understand how utterly wonderful you are. So, and again, I've been to your office. It's small, and everyone was so friendly and helpful. Absolutely delightful working atmosphere. And I do congratulate you for that. Also, you know, when you're working, you're 8 hours a day or more. You want to be in an environment where you feel you're doing good. And your people certainly gave me that impression.
They do. I've got a great. I've got to give a big up to my colleagues here at the charity. It's a really inspirational group. Very, very good group of people. On the science side, three doctors, three scientific or clinical doctors, a couple of PhDs, really driven individuals with great, great knowledge about unrivaled, and I think knowledge about Parkinson's. But on our fundraising and marketing team, so much commitment, so much energy, so much joy. Yeah, I love it. I love working here.
Well, I love hearing about it. Now, is there anything else you would like to tell me? Anything? I know you've mentioned, like, what's coming up for you. You're going to be announcing something very exciting, but obviously you can't talk about it. But vaguely, is there anything more specific that's next for Cure Parkinson's? Though I do feel you have covered a lot.
Yeah, look, there's so much. I mean, first and foremost, watch this space. So
Yeah.
follow the podcast links for our news. It will be a phase three clinical trial. We'll tell you more very shortly. Aside from that, we will continue our program of prioritizing and delivering clinical trials. So that is, priority number one. In terms of the fundraising and awareness for that, yeah, look, if you've got any of your podcast listeners or their friends and family who are cyclists, please get them to get in touch. We're going off to cycle Mont Ventoux, the iconic mountain in Provence, next spring summer. It'd be great to get involved in that. That'll raise us a lot of money. But please, there's so many things coming up, and have a look at the website and see if any of your listeners want to get involved.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I've thoroughly enjoyed this, so I can't believe anybody else won't. And hope. I love the positivity of it all, and there is hope. And that's what I want to hear. And not only do I want to hear it, I can hear that it is sincere hope, that it's all structured and it's happening. It's happening. It's not just
Absolutely.
words in the air.
That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That strength of belief, that strength of commitment is right there. And watch this space. Let's keep at it, and it will happen. We believe a cure will come.
I do believe a cure will come. Thank you very, very much for all your efforts so far, for finding time to talk to me so that I can help spread the word.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I look forward to seeing you very soon.
Thank you very much, Vivian.
Thank you. Bye
Take care.
bye.
Bye-bye.
And thank you for listening. Do let me know who you'd like to hear from and the questions that are important to you. You can email me at pliferaft@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. In the meantime, goodbye and take good care of yourselves.
In producing this podcast, I'd like to thank Richard Smart and Emma Bridinski for the idea, our chairman John Amphlett, who always encourages an idea, Nick Efgrave for the original music, Mike Bailey and the team at EPLS for the graphics, and Andrew Cheel for the great job he does on the editing. This is a production by the Kensington and Chelsea Parkinson's Support Group with permission from Parkinson's UK.
Please note that unless otherwise stated, the people speaking in this podcast are not experts. They are describing their personal experience of Parkinson's disease and ways they have personally found helpful in dealing with it. You must consult your own medical advisors before acting on any suggestions made in this podcast. This applies to experts as well as non-experts. Nothing in this podcast is to be treated as advice, and no liability whatsoever is accepted by the makers or participants for any steps taken in reliance on any part of its contents.